Amen.
Boy, that ought to be our prayer. Our heart's desire. God, move among your people again. Call it what you will, revival, restirring, breathing of God. We need it. Amen. We certainly need it in our life. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. While you're standing, we'll turn there if you will. Matthew chapter number 7. Looking back over these verses that we began a couple of weeks ago. And I preached a message on these verses and coming back to it. Verse number 15, where we will begin today. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 15, where we'll begin reading. All right? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them." By the way, that says you can tell them. Amen. You can tell. They said, "Judge not that you be not judged." You got to take everybody at their word. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying you can tell. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Here he repeats his statement. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we're thankful, Lord, this morning for the good time that you allowed.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Well, we began looking at this section of Scripture that I, in our most recent study, I mentioned about it just a minute ago. This section, verse 15 through verse number 20, is a paragraph that naturally follows the sentences that preceded it in verse 13 and 14. And those two verses dealt with the fact that there's two ways in life. I say this, two ways in life. One, it leads to life, but the other doesn't lead to life. It actually leads to destruction. But in these two paths that are found, the one is a broad way, our Lord describes it, and it encompasses the masses. The majority of people are on that broad way headed to destruction. But then there's a narrow way. He talks about a straight and narrow way that leads to life. And he ends up verse number 14 with this phrase, "And few there be that find it." Now, I believe what that says is that it's not easy to find that way. There's not a lot of arrows pointing to that way. There's not a lot of signposts. Now, it's not that God hasn't given us the opportunity, but it's just against our nature. There's nothing in us that makes us want to look that way. We're looking the other way. The world's got our attention when you're lost and on that broad way. And there's few that be that find it. Here's a thought that I got from that, and I'm carrying it over in these messages, is that if it's hard to find that narrow way, and if it's hard to get off the broad way once you're on it, then we probably need some help. Right? We probably need some direction. And that's what our Lord's showing us here. You can't just make judgments based on what you know. You can't just make judgments on preconceived and prefigured ideas. When you're being careful, whether you're handing out the holy things to the dogs or not, you got to have some something's got to be able to show you the right way to discern these things. There's got to be something that will lead you. And I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not saying that we need a human priest. Amen. I'm not saying that we need a human priest, but rather that we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen. But so many people are not relying on the Holy Spirit or the Holy Scriptures. They're relying on some man. Some man's philosophy. Some man's doctrine. Doctrines of men. Amen. Thank God that God gives us the Scriptures and God gives us the Spirit of God that will lead us. But I believe these verses follow that statement for this purpose, that we must be careful lest we be misled on this path. Now, Brother Rains was here last week, but the week before I preached on beware of false prophets. Those first four words in verse number 15. I'm going to deal with that again this morning. And you might say, well, preacher, what does that have to do with us? Well, all the Scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. Amen. It might not be that you need this verse today, but you will. Amen. And I've heard people make comment, well, I don't understand why, for example, that the preacher's preaching encouraging messages. I'm not discouraged, only to find out before the week's over they are.
Right.
Amen. Only to find out they did need it, they didn't realize it, or somebody else needed that. Maybe they didn't realize that they needed it. So I be honest with you, I quit trying to ask God why He leads us in these directions and just try to follow the leadership of the Lord and trust Him that He does know what He's doing. But there's a danger of being misled. Now, the last time we looked at this, I got pretty plain about some false doctrine, and I felt like I needed to. I preached against some of that doctrine, but our Lord didn't just say, beware of false doctrine. He said it's the man that's pushing that doctrine you better beware of.
Right.
Amen. He says there is a personality, there is a person behind that false doctrine. Now the devil's behind it all, but sometimes the devil wears wingtip shoes.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes the devil is in the preacher or the man that claims to be the preacher that's leading people astray. So we've got to beware lest we're led astray by some other spirit or by some other teacher. Amen. And so our Lord embarks on this statement and this phrase when He says, beware of false prophets. Now, I said this last week and I'll repeat it again, that the false prophet would be someone who is not on the narrow way, and yet they portray and pretend that they're pointing others to that narrow way, when in reality, they're not doing such. In reality, they're only steering them down the wrong road all the time. And I said false prophets come from diverse angles and many different places. Perhaps it is the preacher in the pulpit. Perhaps it's the Sunday school teacher in the class. Maybe it's a mother or father in the home. It might be a school teacher or a friend on the job or a college professor or a popular actor or sports hero on the television or in the magazine. Amen. You probably remember that, I think that it was that Sunday night after I'd preached this on Sunday morning, that Sunday night, Brother Kuhn dealt with some issues, and he was talking about being careful who your friends are and the people you run with. And he used the illustration about getting a tattoo. He said nobody ever got a tattoo just out of the blue. Amen.
Right.
No pun intended. The blue, they put that in there. But they don't just happen. Just like most of the time, it's because of friendship. It's because of the fact that somebody else they knew or somebody else they looked up to, they're following a teacher is the idea of it all. Amen. And I get amazed at the generation we're living in. We have, for example, got young people that say, nobody gonna tell me what to do. I'm gonna be my own person. I'm gonna break the rules. Ain't nobody gonna tell me. And you let their favorite star get a ring in their nose, and you know what they'll do? They'll come in with a ring in theirs. That's right. You let somebody they admire do something off the wall or unusual start fixing their hair a certain way, you'd be surprised. They'll come in taking them the time and going to the effort to fix theirs that way. Amen. One fellow said this, and I think he's right. He said a whole lot of hairdos are not fixed. They just say they're fixed.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But anyway, in this idea, the false prophet does not have to be a religious leader, although I think the connotation is there specifically that they're given religious instruction, and all the time they're claiming that they're pointing us on the right way, when in reality they are not on the narrow way, and therefore they can't point us to the narrow way. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to show you some scripture that's in your Bible that I believe will be pertinent to this particular act. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 18. These are the words of Solomon. He was being inspired of the Holy Spirit to record these words of advice. These advices to his son. I say these are the words of Solomon to his son, but he was inspired of God. So now they are the words of God. And here's what he says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 18. He says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect way." So he said, here's one path, the path of the just. Verse number 19, there's another path. "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So he said there's two paths, path of the just and the path of the wicked. Verse number 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Verse 26, particularly I want you to notice, he gives these words under inspiration. Ponder the path of thy feet. Be careful where you're walking. That's what he's saying. Amen. And so Solomon sought to give advice to his son about choosing the proper way, the right way. Amen. His words now are part of the preserved Word of God. Therefore, we have the Scripture telling us, guard your heart, in verse number 24 or 23. We have the Scripture telling us, be careful who you listen to, in verse number 24. We have the Scripture telling us, be careful what catches your eye, in verse number 25. And we have the Scripture telling us to ponder or to consider carefully and thoughtfully, consider the path of thy feet, in verse number 26. So the point I'm making is that we need something or someone to guide us. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said. You remember that? When Philip went down there and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" Amen. We need a guide. Now, the guide that will lead you to the right way is the Holy Spirit. It takes the enlightening of the Holy Ghost for people to find that straight gate and that narrow way. It takes the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the Holy Ghost uses preaching. That's biblical. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. God uses a preacher. And so there is a man involved in that. And we got to be careful that we're listening to the right people. That's what we're talking about. Amen. So be very careful about who we listen to. God instructed the people of Israel the same way. When they began their journey from Egypt, they shortly crossed over or through the Red Sea. They're in that wilderness. They're at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter number 20, you know, they get the commandments from God. And as he's reading them and as Moses is elaborating on them after he's destroyed that golden calf, then he says this in chapter number 23 of Exodus, verse number 2, the first phrase. He said, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. In other words, here's what he's saying. Young men, listen to this especially. Don't follow the crowd if the crowd's going the wrong way. They say, well, everybody else is doing it, Daddy. Daddy, you say to me, everybody ain't doing it because you're not going to do it. That's what Dad say to us. Everybody's not doing it because you're not going to be allowed to do it. Listen, if the whole crowd decides to go the wrong way, don't mean you have to.
Right.
Amen. And so he said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Amen. Don't go with the crowd when the crowd's going the wrong way. And the Bible, our Lord just told us the crowd is going the wrong way. They're on that broad way that leads to destruction. Amen. Well, I pointed out in our previous study that these false prophets were on the scene in the Old Testament. I gave you a lot of scriptures on that. And then that they had even arisen in the New Testament. Gave you scriptures on that as well. One of those, the Apostle John, warned us in one of his final epistles in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 1. He tells us these false prophets will be rising and they'll be multiplying. He says in 1 John 4, 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God. Because many, and I underline that word, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Amen. There's not just a few out there. I believe Brother Bell talking about the radio. Thank God for the radio. You go to different places. You scan the dial. You're going to find out that everywhere is not like this place. Amen. Amen. You go to other churches. And I've had a couple people tell me recently about being in other churches. And they're not like this place. And I'm not trying to build us up. I'm thanking God for what we do have. But I'm telling you, there you'll hear all kinds of strange things in other places.
Amen.
Amen. So we've got to be careful. A.W. Pink said it like this. He said, Satan has found that he can work far more effectively by counterfeiting the truth than by openly denying it. Hence, in every age, false prophets have abounded. Therefore, we should neither be surprised nor stumbled by their number or success in our day. Amen. The devil is out to counterfeit. Now, this morning, I want to deal with these false prophets one more time. And I want to look at them for a moment. That first phrase, our Lord said, beware of false prophets. I've got five things I want to point out that I won't stay real long with, but I hope I can get them to you real quickly. 5 points, Brother Steve, that I've got this morning. Amen. Amen. First one is the caution. I want you to notice the caution. And then we'll look at the culprits. We'll look at their creeds. We'll look at their commission. And then we'll look at their conduct. First of all, the caution. It is our Lord. These words that I read to you in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 15 are all red letter. Amen. These are all the words of our Lord Jesus. Beware of false prophets. This is not somebody who's in a popularity contest with somebody. This is not somebody who is intimidated by somebody. This is not somebody that has an axe to grind. This is the lovely Lord Jesus who so loved the world that He's going to give His life on the cross to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. This is the Lord that is not only loving, this is the Lord that knows all things. So He can't be wrong. And He says, there's some people out there that you need to beware of. There's some people out there that you need to be careful. Now, I've dealt with that pretty extensively. And so, just suffice it to say, our Lord Christ issues this solemn warning. Beware of false prophets. This is not a warning which should be ignored. Amen. This is not a false alarm. Amen. A lot of people get used to it. I mean, we hear the buzzer go off on the radio. This is a test. This is only a test. We hear it, and after a while, if we're not careful, we don't even pay attention when it is a tornado. Amen. When it is something real. Amen. So I'm saying, our Lord saying, beware of false prophets. This is not a warning that should be ignored. It's not a senseless, useless warning. Rather, it is a reasonable and sensible and needful warning, especially in the day that we live.
Amen.
Amen. There are people afoot with false teachings that are not just leading people astray, but are damning the souls of men. Amen. Just real easy. And I hit on some of it last week. I don't intend on going over it, but just here. Here's what our Lord said. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those are the words of our Lord. Now, when a man says, you don't need to repent, then he's just denied the Lord. Amen. Our Lord went on to say, He said, ye would not repent that you might believe. They say, you don't have to repent. All you got to do is believe. Our Lord said, you won't believe until you repent. And if you haven't repented, you've not believed. Those are words of our Lord. So when men say, disregard that, they have disregarded the Lord. They're not just mistaken. They're heretics. Amen. They're giving false directions. False directions to heaven. You ever had somebody give you wrong directions? For example, somebody was to say, all right, you say, can you tell me how to get to Evansville? Oh yeah, Evansville's right out here on I-69. You take I-69 south. They ain't gonna get to Evansville. Not by car going that way anyway. After I'm gonna have to hit something after a while and go another way. Well, when they're saying this is how you go to heaven, but they're giving wrong directions, they're not leading people to heaven. They're keeping them on the broad way. They're leading them on the wrong path rather than pointing them to the narrow way. Can I say to you, that's not a small matter.
Right.
Amen. This statement of caution is issued by our loving Lord Jesus. It may be ignored, but it may well be ignored at your own peril. Amen. Amen. There's not only caution, there's the culprits. He said, beware, and here's what you beware of, false prophets. Now, the usage of the word prophets, we might automatically think about people that make a prediction. They're predicting the future, for example. And that should be cautioned. Amen. Amen. People setting dates, for example, this is the day the Lord's coming back. They don't know that a bit more than anything. Amen. Making those predictions, they can't be sure of that. And yet they claim that they can. But I believe the word here, the word prophet, is used primarily to talk about those that attend to speak for God. Those that are saying, this is what God said. They're religious leaders in that. So we would, this title would usually be referred to a religious leader, such as a preacher. It could be applied to anybody given religious advice or spiritual leadership, whether it be a parent or a teacher or an author or a celebrity or a prophet, whoever. If they're given spiritual advice, it could be applied to them. But our Lord Jesus is not saying here that you need to steer clear of anybody given spiritual advice. He's only saying be alert of the danger of getting wrong advice. Be alert at those that might be false prophets. Amen. Now, how are we to judge them? Well, they can't be judged by their appearance. They're not to be judged by their talent. They're not to be judged by their charisma or their academic credentials. How are they judged? They're judged by their teaching. And they're judged by their conduct. Amen. They're judged by the Holy Spirit. And they're judged by the Holy Scriptures. By the way, that's why it is important to study the Bible. Amen. Brother Steve talked about that this morning. And there's such a need for that. We're living in such a scripturally ignorant time. Amen. Scripturally ignorant. There are people that will sit down and read everything there is to say about the instruction book about their microwave, for example. But they've not read the instruction book about eternity. Amen. They get all caught up in knowing this, and we're in an information age, and people are hungry for information. Just be careful whose information you take in. We got a book, thank God for the Bible. And we got the Spirit of God. That's why we not only need to study the Bible to know, but we also need to pray for discernment and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and to lead us. And that directs me to my next point. Not only the caution and the culprits, but I want you to notice their creed. Their creed. The danger of these false prophets is their false teaching. Now the word creed is an old English word derived from the Latin word credo. And we still use that, though we have transliterated that into the English language, credo. It means a system of beliefs, a set of beliefs or principles, articles of faith, ideology, credo, doctrine, teaching, dogma, tenets, or canons. Another good definition of creed is this, a set of beliefs or aims that guide someone's actions. Amen. You ever heard, even in political speech, they talk about, and they sometimes they don't use the word creed, they use the word doctrine. It's amazing. You ever heard them talk about the Monroe Doctrine? Amen. Talking about President Monroe had this set of beliefs that he is going to run his government by. Amen. And that became known as the Monroe Doctrine. Listen, there are beliefs that guide people to do what they're doing. Amen. Amen. I've been reading some about some of these mass murderers, some of these young people that have become mass murderers. By the way, one of the things they're buying into is that humanity is destroying our planet. And I was telling Brother Steve about it, that I read this, that in the 1800s, about 1850, there was a big scientist that he was Darwinian. He believed in evolution, but in England, they commissioned him to study about fishing in international waters and if we were about to deplete the fish in the sea. And he did a study on it and he said it is impossible for mankind to deplete the fish in the sea. We can fish all we want, we can waste them all we want, but they're producing them quicker than we can get rid of them. That was said in the 1850s. And the world was a big place in the 1850s. But now because of technology, the world's got a lot smaller. Not in actuality. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying the planet's smaller than it was, but I'm saying it just seems smaller. I mean, we can fly to another country in a matter of hours. Amen? We can go around the world if we want to in a plane, in a jet plane. There's all kinds of... Our planet has seemingly gotten smaller. And so now the idea is, oh, we're getting too populated. And so we're going to... We've overpopulated the world. You drive out west somewhere and tell me that story.
Amen.
Amen. There's still a lot of land. I mean, I know in the cities and these city schools, they might believe it's overpopulated. It is in certain areas, but not across the world. Amen. But they're buying into this that humanity is destroying the planet. So what's the answer? The answer is destroy humanity. And so they play games killing people all day long.
Yeah.
And then it's no surprise that they go to school with some guns and an intent to kill people. And they believe it so much that they're willing to kill themselves. Many of them. Now, what is it that drove that person to do that? What they believed drove them to do that. What they believed. And so that's their creed. These false doctrines lead people in a false way of living and false way of acting. Amen. It is a set of beliefs or aims that guide someone's actions. Therefore, we see that the false prophet is someone who espouses and teaches false doctrine that does not align with the Bible. The Apostle Peter warned us of that. Turn, if you will, 2 Peter chapter number 2. We looked through 2 Peter chapter 2 quite a bit. The other day, we'll just look at one verse today. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Apostle Peter warned us, as our Lord did, of these false prophets. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. And by the way, that's not cursing. It's saying those are heresies that damn the souls of men. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So he's saying they're teaching false doctrine. They're teaching things that are not true, and it affects how people believe, it affects how people act, it affects the aims and the goals of people. Amen. Now, we could spend a great deal of time exposing the religious errors, for example, of the Roman Catholics and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Scientologists and the Charismatics and the Protestants and so many others that claim to use the Bible, most of the time along with some other book that actually has more insight. Maybe it's not a book, maybe it's just some vision that they got, but they have something that has more additional insight than the Scriptures. And so they pretend that they lay claim to these additional insights and they teach something beyond the Bible. But let me simply say this, and it's an old Baptist distinctive. We believe, this is a Baptist distinctive, we believe that the Bible is the sole authority of faith and practice.
Amen.
Now, when I say sole, because of our language, I'm not saying S-O-U-L like the soul of man. It's S-O-L-E. That means the only. Some people say, well, now the Bible's a final authority. Well, it's more than the final authority. It's the only authority. The book you write is not an authority. The book I write is not an authority. Your dream, your vision is not an authority. Amen. The authority is the Word of God. The Word of God is the authority. Amen. And so here's what our Lord is telling us today. When they're coming in with these ideas and with these doctrines that are contrary to the Bible, they're wrong. Recognize them as wrong. How are you going to recognize them? You've got to know the truth. You've got to know the truth. Matthew Henry gives some very good common sense. That's one reason I like Matthew Henry. Good and common sense advice. Here's what he said. Listen to this. If the doctrine be of God, it will tend to promote serious piety, humility, charity, holiness, and love with other Christian graces. But if, on the contrary, the doctrines these prophets preach have a manifest tendency to make people proud, worldly, and contentious, to make them loose and careless in their conversation, unjust or uncharitable, factious or disturbers of the public peace, if it indulge carnal liberty and take people off from governing themselves and their families by the strict rules of the narrow way, we may conclude that this persuasion cometh not of Him that called us. Amen. He said, those opinions come not from God that lead to sin. Amen. If it leads you further in sin or leads you to hang on to your sin, he said, God didn't give you that doctrine. Amen. Let me give you their commission. Their commission. He said, beware of false prophets. False. The idea, these false prophets not only adhere to a false creed, but they have a false commission. In other words, the false prophet claims to be sent from God, but he's not sent from God. Amen. He lays claim to a commission that does not belong to him. Amen. I don't believe preachers just decide to preach. I believe God calls preachers. Amen. Somebody may decide to preach, but that doesn't mean God called them. God calls preachers. Now listen, but he does not call women. And he does not call double-married men. He does not call sluggards. He does not call crooks. He does not call heretics. Amen. These prophets, though they may say they are false prophets. Turn to Revelation chapter number 2. We looked at this when we dealt with those seven churches, first three chapters of Revelation. But look in chapter number 2, the church at Ephesus had to deal with this very thing. I'm going to jump in the middle of the sentence and end in the middle of the sentence, but verse number 2. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Amen. Now you may ask the question, how did the church at Ephesus try these false prophets? How did they prove them? Well, I say that they looked at their qualifications. God gave us the qualifications. in the writings of Timothy. Paul told Timothy. Amen. He goes through that list of things that the man of God has got to be. He did the same thing with Titus. He goes through the qualifications. So they look at their qualifications and they judge them based on the Scriptures. Then, they not only looked at their qualifications, they looked at their teachings. Amen. And judged them by the Scriptures. They knew that the Bible is true. Anybody claiming to be a prophet or a preacher whose qualifications don't match to the Bible is a liar. That's what Jesus said. Those were his red letter words again. Jesus said that to the church of Ephesus. You found them liars. Amen. Anybody that claims to be a preacher and their doctrine doesn't line up with the Bible is a liar. Amen. They're at least in error and they're furthering error in there. So he calls them a liar. Now here's what they knew. The church at Ephesus knew that the Bible is true. Anybody contrary to the Bible is wrong. It's that simple. Doesn't matter if he's your best friend. Doesn't matter if he's a good speaker. Doesn't matter if he sold a million books. Amen. Doesn't matter. They knew the Bible was true, and anybody teaching contrary to the Scripture is in error. Those who continue in their error, once they realize that it's error, they know they're contrary to the Bible, then they are a liar. Amen. They're telling something they know is not true. Amen. Just because someone declares that they're a preacher or a spiritual leader does not mean you have to take their word for it. Amen. Now, I know we're living in a day when profession means everything. They say they're saved, you're supposed to believe them. They say they're saved. They say, for example, somebody dies, and they say, well, now, they said they're saved. I know they never went to church, and I know they lived wicked and ungodly, and all, but they said they're saved. You don't have to go by what they say. They can say they're a preacher until they're blue in the face. Our Lord said you don't have to go by what they claim, by their profession. You gauge it by the book. Our Lord's speaking about discerning in these issues. Amen. And so we go by the book. Amen. So, you don't have to take their word for it. You take God's word for it. That's right. Take God's word for it. If they don't line up with the Bible, reject them. Here's what Paul said, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Philippians 3:17-19. He said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Amen. Not only these false prophets have a false creed and a false commission, but they have wrong conduct. That's the last thing I want to deal with, their conduct. Look at what he said in verse number 15 back in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets, all right, which come to you in sheep's clothing. I'm not going to deal with that so much today, right now. Probably will tonight. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Now, as I said, we'll look at that a little bit more, try to point out some things about the character of this man. But here's the thing. If his life, you look at his life, not what he says, not the suit he's wearing, not the image he's portraying, you look at his life and it'll tell you what's on the inside. Amen. You look at his life, the conduct of the religious leader will speak of his character. Amen. If his life does not line up or correspond with the holy conduct of a godly man, then he has no right to claim to be a man of God. Amen. You remember 2 Kings chapter number 4? Elisha was going through Shunem, and the Shunammite woman said to her husband, behold, she said, I have observed and I've learned. I'm paraphrasing. She said that this man, here's the phrase, and this is biblical. She said, a holy man of God. Can I say to you, men of God are holy.
Amen.
Amen. If they're not holy, they're not men of God. Amen. If they're not holy, they're not portraying the Word from God. They are actually giving a false prophecy. She said, this man's a holy man of God. I'll give you another illustration. Remember, Herod heard John the Baptist. He heard him many times, the Bible said. He loved to hear John the Baptist. Now, Herod's not a man that I would go to for a lot of spiritual discernment. But here's what it said about Herod. It said that he knew, here's the phrase, that he, talking about John, was a just man and an holy. Now, Herod, in Mark 6:20, that's where that verse is. Herod, as wicked as he was, saw John the Baptist, as radical as he was, and he said, this is a holy man of God. This is a just man and a holy man. Now, here's my point. All of God's men are holy men. But false prophets are just the opposite. Amen. It's a cloak they may put on for a while, but on the inside, it's not what they are, and it'll come out. Because what's on the inside will come out. Somebody said, the water that's in the well comes up when the bucket comes up. Amen. Now, our original text, our Lord's sermon, Matthew chapter 7, our Lord goes on to declare the conduct of these men are evil. Look on down here at verse number. But inwardly they're ravening wolves, right? Verse 16. And ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So then every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So what's their actions? Their actions are not good. Their actions are evil.
Right.
Amen. He talks about down here in verse number 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So their actions are not only evil, their actions are worthy to be burned, he said, in the fire. Amen. So it tells you the kind of lifestyle that these men live. The Bible is very distinct about the demeanor of these false prophets. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 verse 6 says this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Amen. What does that mean when it says these are silly women? It means they're gullible. They swallow his lies. And he's leading them captive. Jeremiah 23 verse 14 says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery. That sounds familiar, don't it? False prophets many times commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Turn one more place with me in Ezekiel, Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 22. Last week we looked at a couple of these verses in chapter 22, but not this one. Chapter number 22. He speaks about the prophets and the princes and the priests and the people and the sins of each of these. In verse number 26. Yeah. Verse number 26. Her priests, and that's talking about the preachers now, is the way we would use it, have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. I am profaned among them. You know what that's saying? That's saying these men have no respect for holy things.
Right.
These men are like the dogs and they're like the swine, that valuable things are not valuable to them. Your home's not valuable to them. They'll break it in order to get what they want.
Right.
Amen. Your life's not valuable to them. They'll crush it in order to get what they want.
Yeah.
Your soul is not even valuable unto them. They'll keep you on the broad way just to get what they want. Now, that's not to say that a true preacher can never fall into immoral sin. They can. Amen. We're flesh. That's why we need the help of the Lord. That's why we need the prayers of God's people. Amen. But when someone continues in that immorality, and they continue on being a spiritual leader of some kind, that is a false prophet. Our Lord said, beware of him. Amen. Beware of him. Now I'm going to stop my message right there this morning. Lord willing, we'll come back and look at this tonight, cover a little bit more ground, get somewhere. But can I say this to you? It is imperative that we find the right path. And then it's imperative that we follow the right path. I'm convinced there are people that know. They know the gate. They know the door. They know that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but they've never entered in. Our Lord didn't just say, find the gate, but He said, walk the path. Solomon said to his son, ponder the path of thy feet. Amen. My point is this. That narrow way is hard to find. Be careful who you're following. Once you find it, get on it and stay on it. Stay true to the Lord. Amen. Stay true to the Lord and don't allow somebody to try to turn you back to the things of Egypt and back to the things of the world and back to the things of the flesh. Paul dealt with that in Galatians where they were going back to the law after that they had said they trusted Christ as their Savior. He said, listen, don't turn from the truth. Stay with the truth and don't let somebody detour you. Don't let somebody lead you in the wrong path. It's necessary that we follow the right path. We must walk that narrow way. And then we do need to beware of those that purport to be leading us on the right way, lest we find out too late that they're not even on the right way.
Right.
And neither are we. However, here's the point I want to make. When we're looking at others, be careful to watch your own feet.
Right.
Be careful to watch your own feet. Don't just get caught up trying to judge everybody else and realize, now I'm in judgment because I never attended to my own affairs, never attended to my own life. The warning of Christ that said, beware of false prophets, was never meant to say that we shouldn't ever follow a teacher or follow preachers. But it does mean to say we have a Bible that supersedes any man. Amen.
Right.
Follow the Word of God. Search the Scriptures concerning your salvation. Don't let somebody tell you, oh yeah, you're saved. They can't tell you that. Let the Scriptures tell you that. Let the Spirit of God tell you that. Amen. That's the only true answer on the path of life. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege one more time to be in the house of God, though the message this morning, in some sense, we really don't understand why you have us there again and really why that you want us to elaborate on it again. But I know you have a purpose and I trust you with it. Father, I pray that you'd help us that if there are those, perhaps on their computer, they're listening to people they don't need to. Or on their television, they're watching people they don't need to. Perhaps reading in different manners, or maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's not even a preacher. It's a family member that they're listening to. They need to be careful. Father, I pray send up the warning sign as Christ sent this warning sign. To beware of false prophets. Help us, dear God, evaluate our own steps. And evaluate the teaching that we're hearing. To see if it lines up with the Bible. Lord, help us to know the Scripture and to know the Spirit and to walk therein. Lord, I pray that you'd move in this invitation time according to thy will. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I pray accomplish your will in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you or speaking to you, if you need to come, you obey the Lord while we sing.